The reason why there is a sin offering in this process of consecration is because sin is of the nature of the devil. It's from Satan. And it's something that is in all of us. And a priest cannot have anything to do that has anything to do with Satan. Nothing of his nature. The priest must be holy. And anything of sin or the nature of sin, of the flesh, of the old man, anything of the old creation is an abomination to God. It cannot have any part in the kingdom of God or in the priesthood. Why? Because God hates it. He cannot tolerate it. This is why we as believers, we can't even, any man, we are, the wages of sin is death, as we read. Why is there death? Why is the wage of sin death? Because God hates it so much that he has to judge it. He has to destroy it. That's why the whole world will be burned up in 1 Peter chapter 3, right? Right? Everything will be burned up because when Adam and Eve sinned, the poison of sin entered the entire creation. It's not just me and you, but everything. The whole earth is contaminated with this sin. The nature of Satan, the poison of Satan, is everywhere. So it's not just bad things I do. Okay? I did a bad thing here, I did a bad thing there. It's not just that. Even if a baby that is just born, who has never done anything wrong, is sinful. Because he is born in sin. When sin entered into, when Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered into the human race, into all creation. So everybody who is born after that inherits this sinful nature. So to be a priest, which is such a holy thing in the eyes of God, how can you possibly serve in the holy place when you are not holy? Much less you can't enter the holy of holies if you are not holy. So sin, absolutely, after the washing, after putting on the holy garments, now the inward problem has to be dealt with, which is sin. And this is a very important thing because it is such a deep problem that permeates everything about me. So the dealing with sin is such a serious matter. And that's why here, let's look at these verses carefully. In Exodus 29, verse 10. Actually, before we go there, I want to illustrate why that this is indeed of Satan. Okay, 1 John chapter 3, verses 4. To 8. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 to 8.
Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness.
So you cannot be subject to the law of God because of sin, because sin is lawlessness. You will never be obedient and satisfying to God. You can never carry out his word. You can never have any righteousness in you. Because of sin, because sin is lawlessness. And verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him
there is no sin.
It is in him. He is the solution to overcome sin. It's Christ himself, okay? He was manifested to take away sins. The law could not do that. The commandments could not do that. You could have a whole list of commandments, and there was, about things you should do and should not do, but it could not eliminate the root of sin. They had the commandment, but they couldn't do it. It only pointed out that they were sinful, and they were inadequate, incapable of doing it. That's what the law did.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until Christ came who could give us a new life, because that life has no sin in it. You have to realize that sin is in our nature. The only solution is a new nature. You have to replace the nature with a nature that is incapable of sin. My nature is only capable of sin, but his nature is incapable of sin. So the only solution is not to try to follow commandments, but the solution is to replace the nature with one that is incapable of sin. That's what it says here. He was manifested to take away our sins, because in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. This
Amen.
Is the key, that we abide in him. Okay? So abiding refers to life, how I live. It's not about me doing things, but it's about me living in Christ. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. So this is why you need the sin offering. Because someone who sins, it says here, has neither seen him or known him. How can you serve the living God as a priest if you don't even know him? Imagine you go to the job and you don't even know who your boss is. You're supposed to do a job, but you don't know who the boss is. You don't even know the job description. Right? So how can you serve the living God as a priest if you don't know him? And we sin because we don't know him. Because if you know him, you would never live that way, right?
Right.
So little children, verse 7, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So now you see it gets into our living, our daily living. The practice of this sinless life. The living of this sinless life. Okay, this is the key here, verse 8, what I was saying earlier. He who sins is of the devil. It's a very serious thing. This is why I say it's not just making some mistakes, doing some bad things here and there. And it's much worse than that. Why does sin result in death and has to be judged with death? Because it is of the devil. It's not just a mistake. If it's a mistake, the Lord will just, you know, he can forgive us. He knows we're faulty. But if it's sin, it's of the devil. If I make a mistake in my math test, I can just, you know, improve next time. But sin is deep. It goes to the core. Because it's of the devil. So it's a very serious matter. That's why this is the key here. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is why you need the sin offering, because in you, in your nature, is the work of the devil. So you need the sin offering to eliminate, to destroy the works of the devil through Christ. We like to say he was manifested to take away our sins, but it's more than that. It's to destroy the works of the devil. Not just the sin in me, but all the world that Satan has, the system of the world that he's created. Everything around us that's held in the hands of Satan, he has to destroy it. But the work that he's destroying first is this sin that's in us. And then, once as we are being perfected and transformed, it's going to, his destruction work of Satan will start to spread more and more to the whole world. But this is why Christ came, to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Right? So, therefore, in verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin. This means that this points to the change of our nature. When you are born the first time, you are born with a sinful nature. But now, when we are born again, born a second time, we are born with a new nature that does not sin. So whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And even better, he cannot sin because he has been born of God. This is the way to overcome. It's the life of Jesus Christ that's in us. Right? So if you look at verse, going back to Exodus 29, it says, you shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting. And it's very interesting, if you remember anything about the sin offering that's mentioned later on in Leviticus, it is not a bull. It was a smaller animal. It was just a lamb, right? But here for the priest, it's much more serious. You need a bull. You need a bull for the sin offering, okay? And Aaron and his son shall put their hands on the head of the bull. What does it mean to put their hands on the head of the bull? It means that they are identifying with it. Like this bull, when it is killed, it's not just the bull dying, but it's also me as well. It represents me.
I have died to sin.
And right. So we'll get to that, right? Yep. Okay, so then verse 11, you shall kill the bull before the Lord. So it's not just this bull dying, but I laid my hands on it. So it means I must die too. Because there is no fixing my nature, my sinful nature. The only solution is that I die. Just like this bull died. But now for us, it's not the bull, but it's Christ. So now, that's why the first step as a Christian is in what we read in Romans chapter 6, where it says, Romans chapter 6, that in verse 5, okay? For if we have been united in the likeness, together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. In verse 7, and if for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Okay, so you see here, that this is why at the beginning of the Christian life, already, when we are born again, we must be crucified with him. Because there is no way I can ever be righteous before God by trying. There is no way to fix it. The only solution is to be crucified with him. So just like the priest, they put their hand on the bull was slain. In the same way, when we believe, when we're baptized, we are crucified with Christ, so that my old self must die too. I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians chapter 2, right? I have been crucified with Christ. So, he who has died has been freed from sin. This is the only solution. You want to be free from sin, you have to die. And not just once, but you need to go back to that. You need to, Lord, I want to put to death the sin in me, my sinful nature. I want to be freed from sin once and for all. Right? In verse 12, verse 11, what I'm talking about, there, likewise, you also reckon yourself indeed to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? So I really need to, before the Lord, consider myself to have died to sin. I am dead to sin. I don't want sin to reign in me anymore. I don't want to just keep trying and trying and failing. But I want to take this death of Christ. I want to be really consider myself dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ. Right? And this is so necessary for us all the time. And it says, you shall take, going back to Exodus 29, you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle meeting. You shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger. Pour it all the blood beside the base of the altar. right? Without blood, there's no remission of sins. You could say that the altar is a symbol of the cross, right? The Lord shed his blood there on the cross. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. These are the best parts. The fat, especially the fat around the kidneys and liver, it is the finest quality fat, right? It's the best quality. You give it to the Lord as an offering to him, right? That's what he wants. But everything else, pay attention, the flesh of the bull with its skin, it's awful. You shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Why did he say you have to burn it outside the camp? Why not just burn it there on the burnt offering altar? There's a nice fire there already. Why not just burn it there? Why lug everything, carry it all outside, walk all the way outside the camp and burn it there? It's unclean. But who else also went outside the camp?
Jesus Christ.
Where's that? Hebrews 13. Let's read that. This is very significant. We have to make this connection. Hebrews 13. You cannot talk about the sin offering in that chapter without talking about Hebrews 13. Okay? So it says in Hebrews 13. Okay, verse 12. Actually, no, wait, let's read 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Okay, stop there. So we just had a question in our fellowship group about how do you know that these things in the Old Testament, in the law, how do you know it represents Christ? Well, here's a good example of that connection, okay?
Right.
So why was the majority of the animal, the bull, burned outside the camp? Because, yes, it was because it was unclean. But here you can see because it's pointing to the one that would actually suffer and die outside the camp, which was Christ. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. And you know where he was crucified. He was crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem. Not in the city, but outside the walls on Golgotha, on Calvary. Right? And this is where they executed the criminals. You know, it was a very shameful place. So they just put them outside where nobody else, like, they didn't want to be with the rest of the people. They just put them outside the city, you know, somewhere. And that's where they crucified them, the criminals, because they're like trash, right? They're like, you don't want them anymore. That's why you killed them. Jesus was like one of those criminals, executed and forgotten, they hope, right? So he exactly was this picture, that he was this bull that was burned and crucified outside the camp. So that, in Exodus 29, verse 11, is pointing to this, what he did. But it doesn't stop there. In verse 13, it says, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. So it's not just that he suffered and died outside the camp, but we also must do the same. We also must not want to be associated with the camp, not just be comfortable and you know, just where the majority is, but we need to take the narrow way, to go the way of the minority, to go where it's uncomfortable, to be willing to suffer, to overcome the sin. All right, so in order to overcome, you have to realize that whenever we need to overcome sin, We talked about being crucified with Christ. We're now talking about suffering outside the camp. Dealing with sin always involves suffering. He paid for our sins as the sin offering through his crucifixion and his bleeding and his suffering. That's how he dealt with sin ultimately. But now to deal with our sins, you, yours and mine, how can the Lord suffer and I not have to suffer to deal with sin? So that means I have to follow him in his footsteps. And when I need to deal with sin, I must also go through suffering as well. There is no dealing with sin without suffering. That's why it says anyone, in Matthew 16, anyone who wants to follow me must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Verse 24, 16:24. There was always a cross involved. Okay, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You have to always remember, cross is not sunshine and rainbows. Okay? Cross always involves suffering. I've never heard of a cross is not something just that you wear around your neck as a decoration. A cross always involves death and suffering. There is no such thing as a happy cross, right? No comfortable cross. No problems cross. But it says, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross. This is the way, this is why it's mentioned as part of the sin offering, that it must be burned outside the camp, because it tells us that we must endure this suffering in order to fully overcome sin as we take on, as we apply Christ as the sin offering. Right? There are so many examples where even Paul, he talks about how he has to afflict his flesh. You know, he has to add on to himself more the sufferings of Christ. Right? So this is, you know, this is part of the life of a priest. Right? It goes along with it. So to deal with sin, this is what we have to go through. Right? So just like the Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the bull, today we are also one with Christ in his work as the sin offering, and we need to apply it day by day. Right? Why? Because like I said in the beginning, it is of the devil. It is lawlessness. It's completely contrary to God. This is why it needs to be dealt with. And it's through the sinless life of Christ that lives in us. Right? No law, no keeping of commandments can ever, trying to follow commandments will do this, but it's really by applying and turning to, and like John says, to abiding in Christ. This is the way to do it. Okay? Praise the Lord. Yeah.
You know, I don't like to stand like that. You know, saints, some of the things that stood out for me, you know, we read in Exodus 29, verse 10, 11, and I want to add 12. It's very interesting that it says that this bull, Aaron and his sons has to lay their hands on the head. Meaning that they were replaced. But again, further in verse 12, you shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. And this is very, very important. When the brother was speaking, it dawned on me that this is extremely, you know, without the existence of sin in us, we cannot commit sin. Is it difficult to understand? We commit sin because sin dwells in us. That's why Vince was talking about his kids, right? A child suddenly tells a lie. Nobody taught him how to tell a lie. In fact, you have to teach a child good things. You don't teach them bad things, but they do bad things. Okay? So, but in verse 12, it talks about the blood. And this is like double emphasis. First of all, you have slain the animal. But you have to take the blood in. Why? Because the life of the animal is in the blood. Isn't that what the Bible says? So it's a confirmation that, God, I am dead. Just like the brothers were trying to explain. But something else stood out for me in, and this is the most exciting part for me, in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, I can identify with it because that's who I am. And we have to be careful not to think it is Christ that died once and for all to take away sin. But that does not take away sin from us. Sin dwells in us.